Back in May, I came across a story of a Austrian swimmer, a guy by the age of 19. He was over here to train. He was an Olympic swimmer, and they were training in Pompano Beach, Florida. And they had a day off, an afternoon off, so he and his teammates and his coaches, they went to a private beach, and they enjoyed some beach time in the midst of their training. Well, his name was Jacob Malley, and during this time off on the beach, he started digging a hole, and he dug this enormous hole, 6 foot wide and 7 feet deep. It's a big hole. That's a lot of digging. I don't know, was he using one of those little plastic, you know, shovels that they have in the, you know, shovels and little pails? And so I don't know what he was using to dig with, but playfully he jumped in the hole. And when he did, that's when trouble began. As he jumped in the hole, the sides of his hole caved in and filled it up with sand up to his hips. And his friends and he, they all thought it was really funny and ha ha ha, you know, but sand kept coming. And it came so much that it filled up through his chest, his shoulders, even covered his head. He was completely submerged in sand. His teammates started digging frantically, got his head uncovered, got it to where he could at least breathe, get his head out. But they realized that their efforts, that they were null and void. There was no way they were going to be able to dig him out of this hole. So they went to a public beach, found a lifeguard. They ended up getting 60 rescue personnel from Pompano Beach in Fort Lauderdale. And here's a picture of the hole. There's the little teenager there from Austria. And so what they did was they boarded up the sides of the hole with boards, and they dug him out. This effort took 60 people and 2 hours of work. And they were very worried, and they worked as quickly as they could. Their concern was the pressure and the weight of the sand as it pushed against his 19-year-old body. And one of the coaches continued to talk to him to keep him conscious, to keep him going that way. When they got him out, they were concerned about that. They sent him off to a medical center, and he spent some time there, and he was released, though the doctors were concerned about his kidneys and his legs from the amount of pressure that had put on him. But he was good enough, he was in good enough shape to travel, and so they released him just hours before his swim team was scheduled to fly from Miami to Austria. And that's a true story. Can't make up pictures like that. I'm not that good at Photoshop. This just happened. We're talking about stressed out in this series. Today we're talking about stressed out about my debt. And when I heard this story about this Austrian that jumped in this hole, I thought, you know what? That's what it feels like when you're in debt. That's the stress of debt on your life. It just keeps caving in, and you feel buried, and you feel all that pressure, just like you can't take it anymore. You feel like there's nothing you can do. You're helpless. You're hopeless, and sometimes the more you try to get uncovered, the more sand falls in your hole, and you feel like you're not getting anywhere. The panic, the fear that must have been going through Jacob's mind and through his whole person, I believe that captures the fear that goes through those of us who struggle with debt, which in this service statistically would be a majority of us. And I think this really compares to our struggle with debt, because we realize while we're in that hole, this is the hole I dug. I jumped in this hole. And I'm sure that was running through Jacob's mind. This was all my fault. And that's what we do when we're struggling with debt, when we're dealing with that. This is my hole. I dug this hole. I created this hole. I jumped in this hole, and this hole caved in on me. And it's my fault. Well, as we look at that story, we see that he needed help to get out of his hole. He wasn't going to get out of it on his own. And it took time. 2 hours. Although for us, 2 hours might not seem like a long time. If I were to preach for 2 hours, you would think it was a long time. I'm sure to Jacob that day, he felt like it was an eternity. But it takes time. And I think those parallels can go along with us in our debt as well. We need help to get out of debt. And we need to realize it will take time. But the story was a good ending for Jacob. He got out. He was fine. No problems. And I believe the ending of our story can be the same. You know, it can feel so hopeless. I am an expert on the subject of debt. I unfortunately am not an expert on the subject of getting out of debt. Though I'm preaching a message on it this morning, you're catching me on my venture from here to here. I've seen some success, and I know the things I'm going to be sharing with you today are wise. They're from God's word, not wise because they're coming from me. I've listened to some people that are wise on the subject. I have sought help on this subject. And I've seen some results. I don't have my victory story yet, but there will be a day when I will be able to share my victory story and preach a sermon just like this one today and say, you know what, I did it and it works and here I am to show for it. I'm in the process. I'm there with you right now. I'm in that hole. I'm getting help. I'm seeing it drop down to my shoulders, chest level, you know. So I'm seeing some success there. But I know how hopeless it feels. I know how trapped you feel. I know that you feel the same way that Solomon had written, or the truth that he had written about in a verse that's very popular when talking about debt. Proverbs 22:7, it says, "The rich will rule over the poor, and the borrower is a what? Servant to the lender." The rich will rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave. He is a servant to the lender. Those of you in debt, you are enslaved to your lender. And that's a bondage. That's something that we lose our freedom through that. And it's a hole we've chosen to jump into. Now, this verse is from Proverbs. We're going to see a lot of verses today from Proverbs. Because the guy who wrote Proverbs, or at least the majority of the Proverbs, was King Solomon. King Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. So I think wisdom is going to help us with dealing with our stress on debt. But he was also filthy rich. The man knew how to make money, he knew how to manage money, he knew how to use money, he knew how to get money. And I'm thinking, you know what? If I had wisdom and I had the ability to get money the way he had the ability to get money, I probably wouldn't have any stress with debt. So I think Solomon is an excellent person to go to. So we're going to see a lot of Proverbs today, and that is the reason. And it's part of it's because of my credibility on this subject at this point in my life. I do have victory, but it's not big enough to celebrate yet. But Solomon was victorious when it came to knowing how to handle wealth, knowing how to get wealth, and he was wise. So we're going to be looking at his wisdom by using a lot of the Proverbs today and, of course, combining that with some teachings of Jesus. So, and we're going to use all of this and combine all of this because we want to be stressed in about debt. Right? And wouldn't that be the opposite of being stressed out? If you're stressed in, stressed out, the opposite, stressed in. I don't know if it works that way. But either way, we're going to be grabbing some knowledge. We're going to be grabbing some wisdom. And so anytime you see a verse from Proverbs, know that that came from a man who knew what he was talking about on the subject. And so we're going to be jumping right in. And having all the wisdom in the world about money and about finances and about how to deal with it, it isn't going to do you a bit of good unless you do something about the wisdom you have. Okay, so all the wisdom that's going to be shared with you today from God's word, it is useless if you don't do something about it. Now, I know what it's like to be in that hole and to have it right up to your head and sometimes over your head. Jacob was in over his head, literally. A lot of us have been in over our head. Some of you might be there today. And I know sometimes it feels like you can't do anything. I'm doing everything I can and nothing's making anything. Keep going at it. Keep doing it. Use the wisdom and act on it. Do it. A dollar more in your pocket at the end of the month is a dollar more in your pocket. Please understand that. Some of us think, well, it's just a dollar. No, it's a dollar. Every penny, every dollar you can get is an advantage over your debt. That's a penny and a dollar of an advantage you have. It's the same way you fell in the hole. It's the way you're going to get out of the hole. Don't think it's going to happen overnight. You got to work it. You got to do it. You got to take the wisdom and you got to make action out of it. So let's get going. We're going to be using some things that I've learned biblically, but we're going to be using it under the umbrella of these tips that we looked at the beginning of this series. These three tips of knowing your limitations, building boundaries based on priorities, and stop following fools. Okay, so the first one is know your limits. First tip for success with stress, know your limits. Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, he says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not sit down? Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays a foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him. They're all going to laugh at you. Okay, so that's what's going to happen. They're going to laugh at you. If you can't do it, they're going to laugh at you. Saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Now, so that we're not taking this out of context. This story that Jesus shares is an illustration to illustrate what was meant to count the cost of being a disciple. If you're going to follow me, you have to count the cost of being a disciple. That's what the story was meant for. That's the end product of the story. What I want to do just for this message is I want to just kind of look back at just the story itself. Because here's what Jesus did. He used a story of a man who did something wise, and he said, you need to be like this guy when it comes to following the kingdom. So yes, this is the end product of the story, but just the story of itself. Just a story, let's just take it for face value. Jesus was using an example of a guy that was being wise with his finances, with his building, with what he was doing. You need to know your limits. How do you know your limits? Well, you track your spending. You got to count the cost. You got to know what's coming in and going out. You track your spending. Now, if you've never done this exercise, I strongly encourage you to do so. And you need to find the nerd in your family and assign it to them because they'll love it. If you don't have a nerd in the family, then you're just going to have to gut through it. All right? If you got someone that loves Excel spreadsheets, they're going to enjoy this. And if you're the person that doesn't like Excel spreadsheets, it's going to drive you nuts. Okay? But you need to do it because you need to know your limits. And what you do is you record everything that comes in and goes out for a whole month. Now, I've done this exercise before, and it is tedious, and it is tough. You got to save every receipt. You got to write down every time you pay 75 cents for pop at the machine. You got to remember everything. You got to record it all. But you are going to be shocked when you look at that and you see how much money comes and goes through your hands. You got to know your limits. Track your spending. Okay? Proverbs, back to Solomon, he says, the prudent see danger and do what? Take refuge. But the simple keep going and suffer for it. You got to know your limits. You got to track your spending because the wise, the prudent, they see the danger and they avoid it. It's the simple, it's the foolish people who don't see it and they keep going, and of course they're going to hit the danger. If you don't track your spending, you're not going to see the danger. Track your spending. First step, very, very simple. Track your spending. So that's knowing your limits. Number two, build your boundaries based on priorities. We've talked about this through the series. So you have limits. You're not unlimited. You don't have a money tree that grows in the backyard. You have limits. So what you do is you build boundaries based on priorities. And what that involves is a debt reduction plan based on a zero budget, based on the zero budget. Write that down and I'll explain that to you. This is a Dave Ramsey concept that when I first heard it, I thought, man, this is genius. And the whole principle, the whole idea is that you budget your finances so that at the end of the month, you have $0 left. Some of you are thinking, if you don't know the system of zero budget, you're thinking, that doesn't make sense. How am I going to get ahead if I have $0 left at the end of the month? Well, what it is you budget everything. You make boundaries on every penny that goes through your hand that month. If you have an extra $100, extra $200 at the end of your budget, you go back in your budget and you find out where it needs to go. If it needs to go towards debt, if it needs to go towards saving. And he even says, include a blow fund in there. Just money that you're just going to blow. $100, Throw it in there. That way you know if you come across something, hey, yeah, I'd like to go have a fun day, you know, at Kings Island, or I want to go out and have a date with my wife, or I want to go out and have a date with the kids and do something. We've got $100 in the blow fund. It's not going to hurt the budget. We don't have to find something and pull it from something else and sacrifice, you know, well, we're going to have to just use cold water for the month. You know? So, but you have that, and it's budgeted. A zero budget is one of the wisest things that I've come across that's really helped me a lot in being able to work my finances for positive reasons. Because you have that extra money at the end of the month, and it finds a way to go somewhere. Dave Ramsey said that if you don't tell your money where it's going to go, your money's going to tell you where it's going to go. You got to build those boundaries and do it on biblical priorities. Make what's most important. That's a whole nother message, but I'll just leave it there. What you need for that is to practice self-control and dedication. It's not easy to live by a budget. It takes a lot of self-control. It takes dedication, saying, I am going to get out of this hole. I'm using the help that's been given to me through the wisdom of God's word, and I know it's going to take time. So stay dedicated. Proverbs 23:4 says, do not wear yourselves out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Solomon, rich man, says be self-controlled. Show restraint. Don't be in a hurry. No get-rich-quick schemes. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Now, this next one's a tip that I read in a book, and I thought, you know, that doesn't even need to be mentioned, but when I read it, I was like, you know what? That's a really good tip. And here it goes. Profound. Stop buying stuff on credit. Now, you read it, you see it, and you think, duh. But we don't do it. We're in debt, and we're still pulling out the card. We're still taking out loans. We're still buying new cars. We're still doing additions to the house. Stop buying things on credit. That's great advice. No matter where you are financially, stop buying stuff on credit. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Proverbs. Get rid of entitlement and greed. Those are enemies of your budget. They're enemies of your wealth. They are in cohorts with debt. They are friends, best friends with debt. So get rid of entitlement and greed. We had a whole message series at the beginning of the year on money. One of those messages was dedicated towards entitlement. Go back and check that out. Get rid of entitlement, get rid of greed. Proverbs 21:17 says, he who loves pleasure will become what? Poor. Whoever loves wine and oil will never be rich. He's saying this is just representing things that are lavish, things that people spend a lot of money on in his time. For our time, it would be, you know, whoever loves big screen TVs, you know, and season passes, whoever loves shoes, you know, whoever loves, you know, this or that, anything that's something that takes over your finances, you can't do that. You're never going to be rich doing that. This is a rich guy talking. He who loves pleasure becomes poor. Get rid of entitlement, get rid of greed, and you'll start to see the building of wealth. I want to share a proverb with you, and we're going to kind of pause on this proverb for just a moment, because this proverb's just, it's got some substance to it. Proverbs 24:3-4, it says, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. I love that. That's a great passage. Let's break that down a little bit and write this down in your bullet. We're just basically copying the verse. You know, like when you're a child and you had a picture and you put a piece of paper on top of it and you traced it and you said, look what I drew. Okay? That's kind of what we're doing in the bulletin. I'm the one saying, look what I drew, but really we're tracing Proverbs. All right? Wisdom. By wisdom, a house is built. Wise decisions build your house. Stop buying stuff on credit. That's a wise decision. That's a wise decision for anybody. It's especially a wise decision for those that are up to their neck in debt. You're in your sand hole. Stop doing it. Build your house on wisdom. By wisdom, a house is built. Through understanding, it is established. Understanding is a comprehensive knowledge. You are comprehending something. You understand it. Understand what the score is. What your credit score is. Understand what your financial picture looks like. Because too many are in debt and they don't see what it's doing to their life. When you're doing your monthly tracking your spending, pull out all your house and your car and your credit cards, and I want you just to take the interest for that month that you paid out, and I want you to make one column and just look at that alone and think, if I didn't have that debt, this is how much money I'd have extra a month. That kills me when I look at that. But you got to understand where you are, or else you'll never do anything about it. Understand what the score is. See how much money you're losing a month. Because through understanding, your house will be established. Established means that it stands for the long haul. And finally, through knowledge, its rooms are filled. I like that part. I'm not a big health and wealth gospel guy, you know, and that term means that some of these preachers that preach, you know, if you do what the Bible says, you'll be big and rich. You know, well, you know what? Maybe you won't be. But I know if you do what the Bible says, you'll be wise and you'll be comfortable with where you're living in light of God's view of you and how you're living as your righteousness empowered by Christ's righteousness in you, being righteous before God. Get rich, not get rich, I don't know what God has planned for you. I'm not going to preach that. But these verses give us practical knowledge, practical wisdom, practical understanding that has proven itself. So through knowledge, the rooms are filled. Know your limits. Track your spending. Know what's coming in and going out. Build a zero budget based on this knowledge. If you don't track your spending, how are you going to build a budget? If you don't know how much you spend regularly on groceries, how are you going to budget what should be spent on groceries? You got to know it. Through knowledge, the rooms are filled. If you don't know it, it's not good. Ignorance is not bliss. It's never bliss. In this subject, ignorance is deadly. When we're dealing with debt, ignorance is not bliss. It is deadly. Get the picture. Know where your greed and entitlement are getting you and get rid of them. Know the power of self-control and dedication. Knowledge is how you will fill your rooms. The people during Haggai's time, Haggai was a prophet in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets. It sounds like he was speaking to us today, the word of the Lord that came through him to his people then. Listen to what God says to his people through Haggai. He says, give careful thought to your ways. I want you guys to listen to that. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Boy, isn't that just speaking to us today? There's no translation needed for that. There's no explanation. That is so clear. God says, give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to what you're doing. Know, understand, have the wisdom to do something about it. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Our final tip out of those three tips is stop following fools. Stop following fools. Jesus says, the fools are walking down the wide road, and the wide road leads to what? Destruction. He said, you need to walk the narrow road. It leads to life. Now, ultimately, Jesus is talking about eternal life, eternal destruction. But I found this to be true on the road. If you're walking the big road, the road that everyone else walks, it leads to destruction now and then. And you can follow this. If you follow worldly ways of looking at sexuality, it's going to lead to sexual destruction here and now. If you follow worldly ways of dealing with your anger, it's going to lead to destruction here and now. If you follow worldly ways of handling your relationships with others, it leads to destruction here and now. Not just eternity, now. And the same is true with our finances. If we follow the worldly ways of how to deal with our finances, the attitude we should have, the behavior we should have with our finances, it will lead to destruction now. Christians, we're called to walk the narrow road, the road that not many people walk. Dave Ramsey, a couple quotes from him. He says, if you want something you've never had, you'll have to do something you've never done. Pretty simple. I like it, though. I like simple. If you live like no one else, later you can live like no one else. Stop following fools. Stop doing what they do. Do what God has outlined for you. So what are some things God has outlined for us for our attitude, our behavior? First of all, learn contentment. We talked about this at the beginning of the year in our finance series called Give. You can look it up online, listen to it online. Learn contentment. It's from Philippians. Paul said, I had to learn contentment, or that I learned what it was to be content. Contentment is not something that you learn or that you have naturally. It's something that you learn. So learn contentment. Another Dave Ramsey quote, act your wage. I like that. Act your wage. Jesus, in chapter 20 of Matthew, he tells a story about a certain landowner who went out and he hired some guys in the first hour of the day. And he said, hey, you guys need some work? Well, yeah, we need some work. Well, come on and work for me and I'll pay you one denarius for the day's work. And that was a fair wage. Okay, one denarius for that day's work. So he put them to work. They started working. Well, and that same owner, he found some people in the third hour and he said, hey, you guys need a job? Well, yeah, we need a job. Well, come on, come work for me. And so he sets them to work and they work for him. Sixth hour, he gets a hold of some other guys. Says, hey, why aren't you guys working? Well, we don't have a job. Well, come on and work for me. Ninth hour, same thing. 11th hour, find some guys. Says, what are you guys doing standing around? Well, we don't have any work. Well, come on and work for me. So they came and worked for him. And then an hour later, when it was pay time, he lines them all up. And the people he hired last, he puts in the front of the line. And the people he hired first, he puts in the back of the line. Some of you have heard, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. This is kind of where it comes from. So he pays the guys that were hired at the 11th hour one denarius. These guys way back here in the back of the line, they only worked 1 hour. One denarius, an hour. His rate must have went up. Surely we're going to get 12 denarius. Denarii. Whatever it is. So they're like anxiously waiting. And as they finally get up to this landowner, guess what they get? One denarius. Because that's what the agreement was for. And man, they grumbled. They were not happy with that at all. We're entitled to more because we worked more. We did more. These guys that worked 1 hour, you paid them the same thing you're paying us. We worked for 12 hours. And the landowner said, excuse me, it's my money. I can do with it as I please. See, when we let entitlement and greed take control of our life, we get in that same position. And we feel like we deserve more. We should have more. God should give us more. When we really need to learn contentment and know that God is free to do whatever he wants to do with his wealth. You might be sitting beside a millionaire this morning and not even know it. And that was God's desire to make that person that way. And maybe you're just barely making it through. You know what? Be content with that. That's what God did. Don't start comparing yourself to other people the way they did in that story. Learn contentment. That's how God wants you to handle your financial attitude. Learn contentment. Proverbs 21:20 says, the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. Learn to be content with what you got. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, but godliness with what? Contentment. Godliness with contentment. So he doesn't just say godliness, because godliness to me seems like that would be enough. Keep talking, Timothy. Keep talking, Paul, rather, writing to Timothy. But he says godliness with contentment. Specifically puts that in there, is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, we will be what? Content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and what? You walk the wide road, the fool's walk. What is that? Destruction. You follow that same attitude and you don't learn contentment, you're going to fall under ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Learn contentment, church, because it's bigger than just money. It's your relationship with God. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, man, don't let this get a hold of you. Don't let it get a hold of the people in your church. Because the love of money, it has taken people out of the faith. It's killed them. It's more than just money. It's your relationship with God. He's the landowner. You're the workers. Don't question what he's given you or what he's not given you. Just be content. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. Proverbs 30, verse 7 through 9 says, two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Okay, two things I ask of you, do not refuse me before I die. Number one is keep falsehood and lies far from me. Number two, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Isn't that interesting that Jesus quoted King Solomon in the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. His reasoning, Solomon says, otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Pray to be content. Don't pray for too much. You could risk your soul. Don't pray for too little. Because then what happens? Either side of the spectrum, you risk the chance of disowning God or dishonoring his name. Pray what Jesus asked you to pray. Pray what Solomon said in his wisdom. Give me today just what I need today. And be content with that. Be diligent. Be diligent. You got to work hard at it. It's not easy to get out of debt. It's not easy dealing with debt reduction. Be diligent. Solomon had something to say about this too. He said the plans of the what? The plans of the diligent lead to what? Profit. Now he's not talking about a guy who can tell the future. Spelled different. The plans of the diligent lead to profit. As surely as haste leads to poverty. Be diligent. Be diligent. Remember another, I didn't write this one down, but another Dave Ramsey quote that I remember hearing. He said, a sure money-making scheme is getting a job. So true. Be diligent. Work. Last one under this category, just trust God. Just trust him. That's what God wants you to do with your finances. I mean, that's what God wants you to do with your whole life, but we're just talking about finances right now in this part of the message. Jeremiah 17:7 says, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. He has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. You are that tree when you trust in God. You don't have to fear the drought. You don't have to fear the heat. You just trust God. We've talked about tithing and how that's a practice of trusting God with your finances. Spoken about that in many different messages, and that's really all I want to say about it in this one. Those of you who've heard it, you know. Those of you who haven't heard it, you're going to go listen to it because you might be curious now. What does tithing have to do with trusting God? We'll find out. I believe that God wants us to be stress-free of the negative stress in our life. Sure, we're going to have other stress that pushes us to be better. But I believe we need to be stress-free from this negative stress, this binding, bounding, controlling stress that the borrower is slave to the lender. We're stressed out over debt, and I believe if we take God's wisdom and we put it into practice, then we can be stress-free and then eventually debt-free.